Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
What I want you to do now, as I told you before, you take those weapons I brought you in, those tools. You see them there? All right. What I want you to do is saw, break, slash the transmission line from the basement studio to the transmitter so nobody can ever, ever broadcast out of this studio again. Go ahead. This is how we pronounce your name.
I remember very well.
On the Iron Range. And I've got a little bit of a cold. But it's nice to be here with Donald.
The T.
Were you a Donald when you were a kid?
Only my mother called me that. And only when I was in really bad trouble. And Donald Gilbert, if I shouldn't come home.
Uh-oh. Where was this, in Indiana?
In Indiana, yeah. God, it's good to see you.
Well, thank you. And you're looking great, too, Don.
I feel wonderful. You spend 6 months of your year here, and then 6 months you're golfing all the time, aren't you?
Well, that, and I retired to watch television all day, too. Actually, I kind of retired mainly to play golf, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
That's all I've been doing. I still play a little tennis. I go swimming. Florida is nice. It's not Minnesota, but it's the location. There's no better weather
right
in the 52... We got 51, 52 states, I forget.
I'm thinking there's 54.
There's 54, okay. Whatever. Who's sitting on the board today?
Lindsey Peterson.
Oh, he's the new assistant program director.
Yes, he's turned into management, and already his skills have fallen off dramatically as the studio coordinator.
He's crack management now.
He's unused to being in the basement studio, I think.
Yeah. It's nice to be back here in the basement studio. They were using this put the corpses.
Yes.
When people pass away here, you know.
Well, they had disassembled the entire studio that you worked out of,
yeah.
And they were going to install it in the Pavic Museum of Radio Broadcasting.
Oh yeah.
And they put it back together, and I'm not sure they put it back together as well as it could be put back together. But
well, it looks the same. We're on the internet here now. I notice.
Yes, that's new.
Yeah, it? That is new.
Yeah, since you left 7 years ago, they invented computers.
Really. I did not know that. You know, I don't have color television yet, let alone a computer. I still got the old rotary phones.
My.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Sure.
I live in the past, Don.
It is a past that we're celebrating here with this 80th anniversary, and I don't know if you've been listening at all, but some of the great voices. Jergen Nash was on. Chappie came in and read a newscast.
Did he?
You believe that? Yeah, in the morning he did a couple of them. And so all of the great voices have been back, and it's just been wonderful to hear them.
If Chapman is listening, you know, with the FCC used to have a rule, you cannot direct somebody to say, Dick Chapman, if you're listening.
Yeah.
We got fined here once.
Really?
Yep, in the days when the FCC really did its job, you know. You're not supposed to make a direct reference to somebody. Like, Howard Viken, out of the goodness of his heart, got a phone call from one of his listeners. Her husband had left on a business trip in his car on his way to Milwaukee or Chicago, forgot his briefcase. Could you possibly, Howard, tell whatever his name was, that he better turn around and come back and get it because he's not going to be able to do business without it? So Howard got on and said, you know, Mr. Johnson, whatever it is, if you're listening and you live out in Taylor's Falls or whatever it was, and you're on the way to Milwaukee, you forgot your briefcase. You better turn around and go back.
Huh.
One of the other stations in this market turned us in, and the fine, I think, was around $1,000. Because you cannot say that. Oh, today everybody does it.
Sure.
But back in those days, there were rules, and we kind of lived up to them, you know, and the stations lived up to it. So I can't, what I will tell you that about 2 years ago, I got a call from Chapman. He was up in Jacksonville, I think, and I'm down in Naples. And he said, we're coming down to Naples to see some friends of ours, and I want to go to lunch with you. And I said, that's cool. When? He says, well, how about tomorrow? We could do breakfast. And I said, all right. I said, when you get in, or the next day, that morning, you call me. And he called me. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning. He says, I said, do you want to have breakfast? And he says, well, I suppose I could. We're going to have lunch at about 11, but I could eat twice.
Of course he could.
Sure. So, but I said, well, where are you? And I'll give you directions. Well, he was about 20 minutes away. So I said, get on Creighton and da-da-da-da-da, turn left, da-da-da-da-da, by the church. That's where I am. I'll be right there, he said. Well, I sat there. 20 minutes went by. Half hour went by. Hour went by. Old Chappie didn't show up. So guy calls me and says, you want to play tennis? And I said, yeah. Supposed to have lunch with an old friend of mine or a breakfast. And so I told my wife, if Chappie calls, say, I don't know what happened to you. Maybe you got lost. I never heard from him. He didn't call.
Never again.
Never. I haven't heard from him since.
If Chappie's anywhere within this listening audience, he needs to call the telephone number he knows and get on the phone with you and explain himself,
well,
first of all.
Chappie's got a great voice. When we had Jurgen Nash and Chappie reading the news on this station, among others, it was incredible.
You had to have a special receiver that had a bass lower so you didn't have to boost it so much. Just great deep voices. The three of you, unbelievable voices.
The Donald Selby Show is with us right now. And Morgan Mundane to this day said that you changed your name when you got into radio and television, that your great-grandfather started that bus line, Selby Lake, that goes from Minneapolis down Lake Street, east, over the bridge, and into St. Paul.
I've never denied that.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I never denied that.
Well, somehow you got an H in there to show you, okay? Are you related then, if you're now Shelby?
Yes.
To the guy that puts
sports cars.
Sports cars?
Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my uncle. No, he's not.
He's not. Totally.
You think I'd be driving that VW if I had an uncle named Carol Shelby?
You're still in that VW, huh?
Yeah, that van with the pop-up top.
Oh, that's cool. My son's got one of those. His is an old one, though. I bet you got a newer one.
No, mine's the old one.
Is it?
Yeah.
He's gone everywhere in that thing.
Does he have flowers painted on it?
No. No, he hasn't got that, but he's gone everywhere in that. He's had that van since he was in college, and he's long time out of college. We got about 17 past 3. I'm guessing at the temperature because we didn't get one.
Right. I'm guessing. I'm going to guess. 50, and he's going to guess. You guess first.
52.
52 is his guess. I'm guessing 50.
Okay.
50 or 52 degrees, roughly, and it's pouring down rain.
You know what I'm waiting for, Don?
What?
We didn't do this when I was here, and it's one of my favorite things on CCO. It's traffic and weather together on the 8s.
Oh.
Fabulous. Just fabulous.
Because people can tune in.
Yeah.
They know. I mean, this is the way management thinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're bright. That people will know that it's 8 after the hour. And then they'll be able to switch on WCCO right at 8 to know what the traffic and weather is.
Right.
And they can do that every 8 minutes or so.
Oh, that's fabulous. Crack management staff have a lot of things that they're interested in. And one, if I might say, is I filled in about a couple of years ago on the morning show here.
Yeah.
And one member of the crack management staff said to me after I'd mentioned on the air, in a nice way, but nevertheless, please, Steve, I was going to do another couple of shows after that. In the future, when you do those other two shows, I know you don't get mad, but could you not mention the call letters of the radio station that you mentioned this morning. So I said, fine, you know, but I'm filling it.
It was another station.
Yeah, it was okay. Another station that I'd worked at. So I want to explain this.
Did it have a K in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to explain this thing to you, okay? Why management feels that way, and they're absolutely right. They feel that right now, if I said to them, well, Don, I did the morning show for 13 years at, I'm not going to say it on the air, yeah, at 3415 University Avenue, Southeast Minneapolis.
Now, fair enough. That's fair enough.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But if I had mentioned those call letters, what happens then? If they're listening to WCCO at that time, and if I were to mention those call letters now...
Well, they'd switch over, of course.
Everybody would switch over immediately and say, hey, Cannon just mentioned 3415 University Avenue Southeast.
I'm going to drive by
station,
there.
I'm going to go tune that station in, because I'll tell you something. Good things are happening there. So I was wondering now, Don, the night that you found out on Channel 4.
Yes.
That Majors was leaving his station, and we won't mention it because we don't want to start that
right
business. I'm sure you guys ran that story.
Yeah, but I didn't actually use his name.
Ah, good. Oh, that's terrific.
You know how things have changed? We had Paul Majors on our air, good, on WCCO.
Yeah.
And we had him as a Don for a day on a day I was on vacation. We had him on when he was getting ready to leave. And television is sort of different.
Are you talking about radio now?
We had him on radio.
Oh.
And we did a story on television, of course, about him. And because it's big news. And if you don't say the call letter that everybody knows, then they know you're not saying the call letter.
Right.
Don't they?
Sure.
And then they begin to wonder about why you're not saying the call letter. And then that sort of comes into dishonesty. But I think management has changed somewhat in the 7 years since you left the air, that they understand that there's a brighter audience out there than one group that at one time ran radio in this town, here or elsewhere.
Okay. It's 3:20 here at CCO.
Did you like how I did that?
That was excellent.
Here, let me try to put a sound effect with that.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Okay.
Now we want to check that traffic on the ace.
Oh, yes. This is a very big moment for me. It's 3:21 here on CCO. We'll be back with more of the second coming of the Cannon Mess with Donald Selby. After a look at the WCCO traffic. Here's my old buddy, used to be an engineer here.
Yeah, those were the fun days with, what was that stuff called, Media Touch?
Yes.
You had a special name for it, though.
Terrible tone.
There you go. I couldn't remember what it was.
You bet. Here's Jerry Peterson.
It was a pain in the glute, I can tell you that.
You bet.
A Minnesota tradition for 80 years. You told us how WCCO has been a part of your lives.
Thanks for continuing your great tradition. And don't forget Halsey Hall. Holy cow. I'll tell you, the Twins was a big part of our life, too. Cedric Adams, he made a trip to my small town of Renville and did his news from there. The gym was packed. Wonderful memories. Keep up the good work.
I remember the importance of WCCO with the twin series of 87 and 91, listening to the games when I was supposed to be sleeping.
Hello, on card. Birdie with the yellow bill hopped up on your windowsill, cocked his shiny eye and said, may I hold your palm, Olive? I've loved WCCO, and I've listened to it for years and years.
Congratulations on 80 years. We listen to the weather reports, your reports on the market, and you keep us in touch with the world. You are real radio to us. Thank you, WCCO. You've been a real friend.
I'm a former staff member of Senator Hubert H. Humphrey. Many, many media people nationwide were calling, wanting to interview Humphrey, and I turned on CCO radio, and who do I hear but Hubert Humphrey? Because he just wanted to talk to his pals at WCCO.
We're so real radio, WCCO.
Lightweight on a piece of butter, Lord, it make me feel so proud, cause here we are, singing in the kitchen, all together now,
singing in the kitchen.
25 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. This is the Cannon Mess with Steve Cannon and his sidekick, Don Shelby.
I like that.
The legendary Steve Cannon. It is an honor. I've known you for years, of course, but I've never been on a radio show with you. And to share a microphone with you during this period of time, in the time that you made famous here in the Twin Cities, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Canada, and Iowa, is a real, real treat for me.
Thanks, Don. Back in 1971, when I first started at CCO in October of 71, I came over here from 3415 University Avenue Southeast. We don't mention call letters.
Yeah.
And
it has a K and a P in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I arrived, the first thing that I was told, and there weren't a lot of orders, but one was that WCCO radio did not accept the fact there was television. It didn't exist. Okay? I'm not kidding.
No, I know.
And that we were not to mention ever television. In any, I said, I can't talk about the Johnny Carson show last night. No, can't do that. We don't talk about it. We don't accept the fact that they exist. Well, you know, we had about a 46 share. It was probably more than any television station had, sure, at that time. But nevertheless, I said, okay. So I was working as a freelance artist at that time here. Wasn't on staff. But management has a nice way. They said, you're freelance, but you only freelance here.
Okay. Oh, an exclusive freelance contract.
Yeah. The reason was they didn't want to give me the salary the staff announcers got. So I was making it whatever I did. So I was working 7 days a week, although I must admit I liked it.
Yeah.
I did Monday through Friday, you know, 4 to 7, 3 to 6, whatever it was at that time. I did a Saturday morning show from 8:30 to 10, which was a gas. I really enjoyed that. And then I did North Star Hockey at that time with Al Shaver. Al Close Shaver.
Yes.
So, in any event, I also worked Saturday afternoons. I did a record show. So, and if there was a sports event, I sat here on the board. And then when the game was over, then I would do my show. So I'm sitting there watching the state high school basketball tournament. And Ray Christensen is announcing it, all right? And I'll never forget it because Gilbert was in from the Iron Range. They had a kid named Andy Snyder. Hot shot. Just at the close of the first half, Andy Snyder, they inbounded the ball to him under his own basket. He took that ball and he threw it the length of the court, went right through the nets. All right? Okay. So I'm just sitting here. I'm watching it on television because I got it on, you know. So then Ray says, well, we'll be right back after the news with the second half, right? So I get on, and before I do the news, I say, I want to tell you something. If this isn't the greatest game I've ever seen, and I said, I played basketball, and I've been watching basketball all my life. But when I saw Andy Snyder from Gilbert throw that ball, I'm on television, when I saw him throw that ball on television all the way down Williams, the court, and put it in the basket for two, that's the greatest shot I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen the pros, because we had the Lakers here, see? So then I read the news. I get done with the news. We play about three commercials in a row. I segue, and we're going back to Ray. Myla, who was my favorite person on the... And Myla's another story I wanted to get into with you later.
Okay.
She's one of the characters that worked here. Myla calls me up, and she said, the program director just called. And he said, she said, he is livid. Absolutely livid. You know you're not supposed to talk about television, and you said that you were watching television and saw Andy Snyder and so forth and so on, and he's very disturbed, and don't ever do it again. Well, that was enough for me. You know, I can be pushed so far. This is about my second week there. So I said, before I went back to Ray, I said, Myla, our lovely receptionist, just got a call from our program director here at CCO. And, you see, we're not supposed to talk about television. And I said, I should have washed my mouth out with soap right after it, that I just saw on television Andy Snyder throw in the greatest shot I've ever seen in my life. I want to recant that. Folks, I just heard on CCO radio that Andy Snyder just threw in the greatest. Too bad I didn't see it. That went over very big with the crack management staff.
Because you outed the management, too. Yes. Talked about the management on the air.
Oh, my. That terrible?
Well, but you had a great reputation of having a wide breadth of the things that you would and could talk about on the air, and that's why it became so popular, among the many reasons why it became so popular. People knew that Gannon was going to tell the truth.
I guess so. Do we do news now?
We're going to go over to Paul Douglas. He's in the Weather Center, the WCCO Weather Center. That's another change that's happened because we've got a kind of a relationship since television now not only exists, but television is a synergistic part of WCCO radio.
We had one of my favorite crack management types, Steve Goldstein.
Yeah.
He did a lot for this station. He's a good friend. When I first met him when he came over here, that was a big word for him. That was a 1986 Synergy.
Synergy.
I'd never heard it before. And he said, we have to establish a certain amount of synergy here at CCO. And he was talking just to me, and I said, excuse me, Steve, what does synergy mean? Well, he explained it. I can't remember. What is it? Is it a...
I thought it meant sinning with energy. So you could repent with grace.
Okay.
See, that's what I thought it meant.
What does it actually mean?
Somebody told me it means that things work together in a cohesive fashion. Two things look disparate, but they work together and form one unified thing. So if television has reporters working on a story, and we have a staff at radio, who and we've got reporters at other locations, we could call up the television reporter and say, file a report. Tell us what's going on the scene there. And then television working with radio, we become sort of one voice. And since the call letters are the same, then it kind of works in this market.
Oh, yeah.
And other places, including the station we can't mention, have been doing that quite some time.
Okay.
We're going to go over and try out some of that synergy now with Paul Douglas in the Weather Center at WCCO.